Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome into Brewcast for Amazing Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. I am Luke Giardi, joined by Scotty White, here with you Monday, November 29th, as we head into Tuesday, November 30th. And man, this is one of the best feeling shows that we're probably going to have ever done. I'll be honest with you. I've done a couple of Michigan going to the Final Four and going to national championships in basketball, but this one, man, it just feels a little bit different. Scotty, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I am feeling great. I'm still on cloud nine after the win on Saturday. I've been waiting for this moment since I was 11 years old, and I could not have pictured it going any better than things went on Saturday. The fact that Michigan has a game this week, I mean, it's just such a different feeling, a great feeling. But yeah, I'm doing amazing.
Yeah, man, I'm on cloud nine, man. I have been all weekend. Yep. It's crazy. I didn't let myself really believe it until the end there, to be quite honest with you. Probably a Jabo's sack, to cause the fourth down was when it really sank in that it was really about to happen, man. You were there, in the big house and, watching it all unfold, man, I could feel the energy through the TV, man. Just describe what it was like in the big house on Saturday.
Oh my gosh, dude, it was absolutely unreal. Like, I thought that the Washington game, the atmosphere was awesome there, but I've never experienced anything like Saturday. I mean, after every play, you know, even if it's just a 7-yard run for Haskins, everybody's screaming, hugging everybody around them. It was just loud every single play. They had the false start count up on the big screen for Ohio State. So that got the fans going, pump it up. I know the Blue by 90 guys, they love that. I don't think there's been more than like 5 minutes where I haven't been singing that in my head. It's just been stuck in my head since Saturday. But yeah, they played that probably like 20 times. Always gets the crowd excited. But yeah, I mean,
did you make it out of the field?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was about once Haskins got the fifth touchdown of his day to put Michigan up 42-27. That's when everybody was like, wow, this might happen. And
yeah,
started pushing our way down. I got on the field and it was totally packed, especially from the student section side. So I was on the field for like 10 seconds, but I just wanted to touch the field just to say that I could touch the field. But yeah.
Absolutely, man. Why would you? If I was there, I would have been on the field. There's no question about it.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, people were like starting to like get off the field and they're like, all right, go back. I was like, no, I'm getting on the field. There's no chance I'm not going on that field.
It had to be done, man. Start to finish, it was crazy. I loved what I saw from – you know, the fans, like we said, I was pleasantly surprised with how little red I saw in the big house on Saturday. I don't know if you know, from your vantage point where you were, you know, looking around it compared to years past, man, it was a great showing for Michigan fans. And I really do think that matters. We talked about it going into this, that the big house hasn't hosted a game like this. 2003, maybe, but probably the biggest game since 1997. And ultimately made a difference. You could tell the Michigan players were feeding off of the crowd. I think, you know, that's what it looked like anyway. I mean, it was loud, 5 or 6 false starts on Ohio State, a couple of fumbled snaps. I mean, it was crazy in there. That's what college football is all about, Scotty. Yeah, like that is the atmosphere that can actually impact a game.
That's what I love so much about college sports. I mean, I think I saw Joel Klatt tweeted something similar, but like you can't watch, in my opinion, the NFL yesterday and college football on Saturday and tell me that the NFL is better. I mean, and yeah, no, the stadium definitely played a role. I mean, I was at the game in 2019 and the game in 2017, and it was just felt like a normal game those 2 years. But this, from the beginning, you could just tell that it was just different in there. And it definitely made a difference.
No question about it, man. And quite honestly, setting the tone was the big thing of the game. Michigan gets the ball, and they put a great drive together, man. An incredible drive. Capped off, obviously, great Josh Gattis called the little Statue of Liberty reverse that they ran, to Henning there. That was truly, what a way to start, man. And I loved that, and that was a kind of a theme throughout the game, is Michigan, they set out to do something, and that was run the football. They knew they could run the football, but they also did a couple of different things. The reverse there, they ran the flea flicker, completion to Sanders Still. They took a couple of deep shots, one to Cornelius Johnson, one to Andrell Anthony. There was an offsides there, obviously, but they were able to keep Ohio State on their toes. And late in the game, I think, is when it really paid dividends too, Scotty. As you look at like the last two possessions, is that Ohio State had to respect the threat of potentially Michigan gaining free yards on the ground. They lined up in gun, spread out Ohio State, and Ohio State, when they had to sell out against the run, still had light boxes, and Hassan Haskins was able to do everything he wanted. The offensive line absolutely dominated all day, man. It was a perfectly executed game plan, I thought, on the offensive end.
It 100% was. The offense in the second half, the only drive they didn't score a touchdown, they were taking knees because they just won the game. I think there was one third and one, and there was one third and two in the second half. I mean, they were just getting everything they wanted. And honestly, like the pick in the first quarter from Cade was tough, but the fact that he, one, responded so well to that was great.
Right.
But two, I mean, he was, I mean, even the Andrell Anthony deep ball, it was an offside, so it was a free play, and it wasn't caught, but that was still a really nice throw. JJ's one throw to Roman Wilson was absolutely beautiful. I think most quarterbacks would throw an interception on that play. I think both JJ didn't, obviously didn't play nearly as much as Kate, but I thought that they both did a tremendous job through the air when they were called upon. And honestly, like, if you told me that we were going to throw, or Michigan was going to throw for 100, less than 200 yards before the game, I would not have thought that was a great sign. The run game, the offensive line, just total dominance, especially in the second half. But I thought that after the first interception, the only interception, but after the interception in the first quarter, I feel like that is a play that in the past would totally just derail the game, derail the team. But I was really impressed with how they came. Ohio State had all the momentum. They went up 10-7. Michigan hadn't scored in a while. Just super impressed with how the team responded to that.
Man, I'll tell you what, Scotty. I've been hurt so much in the past that when that interception happened, I kind of just like collapsed on the couch a little bit. Man, here we go again. Got a chance to go up 14-0. Shades of 2017. The Josh Metellus dropped the interception when Michigan was up 14-0. You know, like, it was like, I thought Michigan had to come out and play a perfect game to beat Ohio State. They made critical mistakes in that first half. Coming to mind, obviously, is the McNamara interception, also the kick catch interference. And yet they took a halftime lead. So I was kind of like, man, I kind of feel good about that. You know, they've got a lead, and they made some critical mistakes there. Yeah. You know, we'll see what happens. But I mean, that was, looking back at it, that was a really good sign.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I look back at the games in the past, all the truly heartbreaking losses of Michigan football, and there's always those one or two plays that, you know, keep you up at night thinking about it years later. And that interception happened. And I seriously, in the stands, collapsed down, face in palm, for seriously like 3 minutes. I didn't watch the next couple plays. I was just like, I'm going to be thinking about this for the next 10 years every night before I go to bed, aren't I?
Yep.
But no, they responded well.
That and the dropped interception.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that Metellus one in 2017, it did remind me of that.
And the defense... Chat, help me out, unless Scotty, you remember who was it that dropped the interception there before halftime?
Oh, was it?
I don't remember. I'm drawing a blank. Chat, if you could help us out with this one, I don't think it was Mike. It wasn't Michael Barrett, I don't think.
No.
Oh, man. Why am I blanking on that right now? I anyways. Oh, yeah, RJ Moten. Thank you. Appreciate you, Palmer. Yeah, RJ Moten, man. That thing went right through his hands. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That was another one, too, right? Is yeah. You're like, you cannot let this happen, but they held Ohio State to a field goal there, which was key. I thought, because throughout football history, it seems like every dropped interception leads to a touchdown for definitely. The offense. And I was like, Ohio State's going to score. They're going to go up here at halftime. And, then they're going to get the ball back. They're going to double dip here. And, I mean, I don't know what happened in that second half. I don't know what that halftime speech was, Scotty.
But it was awesome.
Oh, my God. The force of three and out coming out there. Josh Ross, by the way.
On the 32.
Hand up here, man. I mean, he played a hell of a game. Yeah. I had said, someone asked on the show last week, what was Michigan's biggest weakness on the defensive side of the football? I said linebackers. You know, you've got a true freshman starting in junior Colson. Nakai Hill Green, obviously, he made a couple of tough plays in that Michigan State game. But Josh Ross, I wasn't sure. I think Justin Rose said he loves Josh Ross. He didn't want to see a lot of them because, you know, he thought that they were going to put him in coverage, things like that. Josh Ross played out of his mind, as did the other linebackers, man. That defensive performance, just top to bottom, all three levels.
Yeah.
Amazing, man.
Dude, yeah, the third and two stop was just huge. I mean, to appreciate it, David.
David, I would have given Scotty gave the halftime speech.
I would have given a great halftime speech. I don't know if I've ever had more adrenaline in my body than during that game. But yeah, no, the third and two stop from Ross was huge. But yeah, I'm guessing you've seen the video of the teams going into the locker room at halftime. It just looked like Michigan wanted it more. It really did. Ohio State looked like they didn't even want to be there.
No, they didn't, dude. They got out physical. Yeah. I mean, the big play, you know, obviously with Ohio State, was it Brown, I think it was, who ripped off Roman Wilson's helmet. All of a sudden, he turned around and multiple Michigan guys, couple offensive linemen, Eric Aller over there. I mean, that man, he turned around. He was all fired up. He turned around and said, oh, man, what did I get myself into? Like, that is the edge that Michigan played with that entire game. They came out ready to go. And, man, I said it, and I couldn't. I texted Anthony and Chris earlier this week on Tuesday. I said, I don't know what it is. This week just feels different. I can't explain it. I could just feel it in my bones. I think it was the way that everyone was talking surrounding the Michigan program, the way Aiden Hutchinson was talking, the way Cade was talking, you know, that, hey, you know, we're not going to guarantee anything, but we're feeling confident. There was a carrying of themselves throughout the week that just it made kind of an aura surrounding the team in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of felt like that all year. And just like my whole life being a Michigan fan, every year I always have some feeling that this year is going to be different. But just the way that the team was being led by like Hutchinson, just having him is just so big for the team. What a great leader. He should be in New York. He's the best player in college football.
Oh my God, dude.
But, and yeah, I like logically and seeing how good Ohio State was, I thought, I mean, you saw on the podcast, I picked Ohio State to cover. But I texted my friend Ben on Tuesday. I was at the press conference and Aiden Hutchinson was talking. And I texted him after that. I was like, we're beating Ohio State on Saturday because of how fired up I was just listening to Aiden Hutchinson talk.
Yeah. Right, dude. Right. Absolutely. I got one here. Dunny Don said, is it weird? Does Luke's voice kind of sound like Randall and Clerks? I'm just glad I'm getting different. I'm getting different comparisons than T-Pain here this week, guys. I think you can see me clear. I think the voice is good. I think I got my internet fixed. So I'm here. I hope you guys can see me and hear me pretty good here this week, man. Because it was pretty important coming off of that Saturday. But you mentioned Aiden Hutchinson. I think we should talk about, I mean, that defensive line as a whole was unreal. But I feel like, you know, I listened to some different podcasts and whatnot, and particularly some gambling podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. And one in particular kind of has talked a lot about this year about Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo maybe masking some things on defense, making him seem better you know, than they are. And if you subscribe to that theory, I understand, but I also don't think you could properly handicap exactly the impact that they have on the game, because those two are absolute game wreckers, and you saw it against Ohio State. They kept CJ Stroud off guard. They played good, what seemed a lot like kind of that high two-man shell coverage, which they weren't going to allow Ohio State to get everything over the top. Ohio State worked for everything, Scotty. The two touchdown drives in that second half, 30 plays combined for Ohio State to get those two touchdowns. Michigan's four, a combined 22 plays. Ohio State worked so hard for everything, and they had to make some incredible plays to get that. The third and 18, third and 19, that was one of the greatest catches I've ever seen in my life, dude. No idea. One of the greatest catches I've ever seen in my life. How did it happen? There should have been a pass interference, but it didn't even matter.
I know. I like it. And I've watched the condensed 60-minute version of the games like five times since, and every time. It's funny. I mean, like, obviously we won the game and I was so happy about it, but watching the highlights on those plays, I still like get a little frustrated. I'm like, how did they convert that? Like, how did he make that catch?
And that was the theme of the game. It was like, you knew Ohio State wasn't going to make it easy, but I mean, come on, can we get a break? You know, like, just for the sake of my heart over here, you know,
it really
could
have been like a 42-13 game. I mean, there was the third and 19. And that was still in the third quarter. They might have punted that if they didn't get it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was the end of the third, right? Yeah, and then they ended up getting a fourth and five later to begin or something.
Yeah, I mean, and there's just great pressure on that play, too, causes Stroud to roll out. And it was really just – it was a great catch. So you got to give them credit there. They definitely made people nervous, me definitely being one of those people. But, yeah, I mean, some incredible plays to keep them in the game.
Jason White here said it's not just how they were talking, but how they've played all year, never flinch. And, Scotty, you and I have talked about this, man, and Michigan's ability to answer. Yep. And, you know, thinking back on the season, I'm pretty sure the only time this year Michigan has went down in a game, they trailed and they didn't respond with a touchdown, was when Michigan State took a 37-33 lead. I'm pretty sure that's the only time Michigan did not respond with an answer after going down in a game here this year. They did it against Nebraska. They did it against Penn State. Ohio State, obviously. Yeah, when it was 10-7. I'm trying to think. I can't remember if Wisconsin never took that lead, right? They had the touchdown right before halftime, but it didn't give them a lead. Yeah. But every time this year, man, if there was a team that went up on Michigan, the very next series, they either went down and kicked a field goal or they scored a touchdown to take the lead once again, all except for one when Michigan State went up 37-33. Even when Michigan State had the two touchdowns to go up 14-13, Michigan went right down and scored on that.
Yep.
I mean, their ability to not blink this year was just simply not something we saw from a Jim Harbaugh team in the past. It's just what it was.
Yeah. It's just one of those things that it felt different this year. It has felt different since the Western Michigan game. And that's one of those characteristics that championship teams have to have. And Michigan has it. And they're playing for a championship on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, they made it, man. They made it to
Indy. It doesn't even feel real to say that, but Michigan is playing on Saturday. I just go on ESPN all the time and just stare at the game, Michigan versus Iowa. Just look at it.
And I don't know how you guys feel in the chat here as we're live. If you're listening on the pod, obviously, you can leave us a review and let us know. But if you're live with us here on the Mason Brew YouTube channel as we're doing this on Monday night, you think back to 2018. Maryland's missed two-point conversion against Ohio State second to last week of the regular season, right? That conversion would have sent Michigan to Indianapolis. Now, if that happened, but everything played out the same, and you know what you know now, and you know what this feeling is like here, would you trade what happened in 2018? Like, would you want that have been your first trip to Indy after getting beat by 23 to Ohio State? Or to me, man, this feels so good to beat them, to slay the dragon, and for that to be how you got into the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, I'm with you, Luke. I think now I wouldn't have it any other way. Even the past losses, I mean, now none of that matters. You know, Michigan's on top right now in the present. That's all that matters. everything leading up to this made this moment so much sweeter. I mean, it's been 10 years since Michigan beat Ohio State. For me personally, you know, this is my senior year at Michigan. That was my last game in the Big House. So for me, I wouldn't want it any other way. I mean, everything that happened before just made this moment sweeter.
Yeah, exactly, man. Is everything the trudge through the mud the last few years that, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of heartbreak to appreciate the moments, right? Like, really, you know, you can't appreciate the sunshine with no rain. And damn, we were damn near drowning. Like, we were standing in a flood, man. It was up here. It was about chin high was the water at this point coming into this season after last year. But man, what a job Jim Harbaugh's done. I think we got to give him a lot of credit as well. He went through, he made sweeping changes with the coaching staff. And the job he's done, you know, giving the reins to a guy like Mike McDonald, who's never called defensive plays before. I mean, what a chance he took on him. He trusted his brother, John. John said he's got the guy. And Mike has done a fantastic job. Obviously, the defense is not perfect, but it never was going to be. No. You know, it's just what a job that entire coaching staff's done. And hand up to Josh Gattis, man. I got to give him a lot of credit too. Yeah. I've been a monster critic of Josh Gattis, Scotty, mm-hmm. a monster critic in the past. He called the perfect game on Saturday. Good. He's done a great job all year. This team scoring like 35 points a game. Josh Gattis, he's gotten it done. Obviously the offensive line playing a huge part in that, but the coaching staff's done an incredible job this year, man.
Yeah. It was a coaching clinic on Saturday. And it's funny too. I think a huge part of this game, was the defense and their ability to hold Ohio State to a couple of those field goals, get those big stops near the red zone. And it's funny, the first brewcast that we did together was after the Michigan State game, you know, one of our lowest points. And we're talking about how Michigan couldn't execute in the red zone and Michigan State was getting a touchdown every time. Now look where we are. Michigan went down. They went into the red zone. Jake Moody didn't even come out for a field goal attempt. Touchdowns every time. Defense made huge stops on there, forcing field goals. It was awesome.
I think Jake Moody did. I think I saw this stat. He's had one field goal attempt since the Penn State game, something like that.
He hasn't been out there very often.
Man, I love Jake Moody. Don't get me wrong, but we've said we want to see less of Jake Moody unless it's on extra points. Exactly. You know,
we love him.
We can see Jake Moody every possession. I'm fine with that. I just want him kicking from the 2 yard line. You
know, exactly. Yeah, we saw plenty of them in the second half after every drive. But yeah, I love them taking extra points. I mean, against Maryland, kicked one at the end of the half after the touchdown got called back. I think that was it.
Yeah, that's the only time. Yeah, the at the end of the first half there. I mean, that's amazing too, right? Is that I do respect the coaches for being self-aware. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, Harbaugh, he's mentioned it. He's a points per possession guy, and I understand that. But they also knew, look, if they were just kicking field goals in this game against Ohio State, they didn't win this game.
No.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't think – I also think touchdowns kind of feed off each other. They got that first one in the second half. Then they got the second, and they're like, man, we're just bullying these dudes.
Yeah.
And then they had a little more confidence, you know, for the rest of the half in the last couple of drives to end that thing. You know, they were able to go out there. They were able to pick up first downs and go and score touchdowns. And that's how you beat Ohio State, man, is you go score points, you go score touchdowns. We know that all too well. And them being able to do it, man, it's just the corner they turn. Remember, I think it was Zach Zinter. Correct me if I'm wrong, chat. After the Michigan State game, I think it was that Monday, he said, you know, we're going to go and we're going to win out. And I think the comment kind of just flew under the radar a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, no one really made a big stink about it. I don't know. It's just like, you know, whatever, something a guy says. But honestly, it wasn't as, you know, passionate as Tebow's speech after the loss to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But damn, you look back on it and it's as prophetic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember I used that quote in one of my articles that day. I mean, it was easy for a lot of people to jump ship after the loss to State, but we kind of talked about it, and kind of we knew that Michigan still had everything in front of them, and everything fell into place. It's crazy because, I mean, if Michigan State hadn't lost that game to Purdue, I believe they would have gotten that tiebreaker. I went to Indy. But everything fell into place, and Michigan's going to Indy next weekend.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We can still, you know, talk a little bit, or we can talk quite a bit still about Ohio State, but also, you know, looking ahead, obviously, job's not finished, no. You know, even though I don't know how you feel, man, that felt like a Super Bowl win to me. So I'm glad I'm not playing, because I don't know how I don't know how you get up after this weekend, man. I don't know as a player how you just continue to roll. I don't understand it, because I can barely think ahead to Iowa here. I just keep reliving the weekend. So I'm glad I've got no effect on the outcome. I'm glad that's up to the coaches and the players, because I know mentally I probably wouldn't be there.
Yeah,
but
that would be tough.
I mean, on paper, everything played out perfectly, right?
Yeah.
With Michigan winning, Iowa coming back to beat Nebraska.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell that performance was from Wisconsin against Minnesota on Saturday night.
They had looked a lot better, too, in previous weeks. That was surprising.
That's the thing. Like, I'll be honest with you. I was thinking ahead a little bit. I was like, if Michigan somehow finds a way – I don't want them to see Wisconsin, because that would be such a tough matchup in the Big Ten championship game, coming off the most emotional win you've had since 2011.
It's just so hard to beat a team twice, too. I was a good team. I mean, it's not going to be easy, but there's no reason Michigan shouldn't win that game. I personally would much rather see Michigan playing Iowa than Wisconsin. Wisconsin, ever since the Michigan loss, had looked like a much better team. I was really surprised. Minnesota's just been a weird team. I mean, they lose to Bowling Green. They lost another, maybe to Illinois or something. And then they win their big rivalry game against Wisconsin. It's just been a weird year for them. I'd definitely much rather see Iowa. They are a really good team. They're in the Big Ten championship for a reason. It should be a good game.
They were number two at one point in the season, you know?
Yeah. It should be a tight game. But like I said, I don't see any reason why Michigan shouldn't win that game.
For sure. I think T. White makes a good point here. He said, little bro still drunk when spoilers smacked him. Can't let that happen. And I mean, that's a thing, right? Like, Michigan State was coming off an incredibly emotional win against Michigan. They go to Purdue, and Purdue jumped up on him. Like, that's what Purdue does. But I also feel like that's kind of what Iowa does. Like, Iowa... You go look at the box scores from earlier this year and some of the games that they won. Even the very first game of the season, I think Indiana, they didn't dominate the box score. I think they got dominated in the box score against Iowa State. No one understands how that game even, you know, happened the way that it did. A lot of those early season Iowa big wins were like, how did they win that game? You know, that's what makes that team dangerous, to be honest with you, Scotty.
Yeah, that Iowa State game, really, I mean, every facet of the game Iowa State dominated in. And then I think Iowa State had four just bad turnovers that totally changed the game. And Iowa's been able to do that to a lot of teams, is get teams to turn the ball over. And I think that's going to be really interesting on Saturday, because that's one of Michigan's strengths, is not turning the ball over. So that's going to be a big part of the game. But yeah, I mean, Iowa's defense, I think, certainly will present some challenges. But I think that Michigan's defense is really gonna be able to shut down Iowa's offense. I mean, Iowa also against Penn State, if Clifford doesn't get hurt, I don't think that Iowa even comes close to winning that game.
Hummus Hero says, you ended the Buckeye reign of terror on the Big Ten. Congrats to the team up north on a great win and season. We will be back, though. Go Buckeyes, and good luck to the team up north in the postseason. Go forth and win the big. Yeah, we know you'll be back. There's no question about that. We understand. Yeah, definitely felt good to get this one, and hopefully it's a little bit more of a rivalry moving forward after this one. You know, I think there's a good chance of that happening. You got to get that first one to keep it moving. We'll see what happens, but definitely going to enjoy this one. Our us Michigan fans, no question about that, but appreciate the respect that you show Hummus Hero. You know, we always got to get a little good respect in the rivalry for sure. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, I also like this comment from Kickin' Chicken. I don't want to go without mentioning Mike Hart here. He said, Mike Hart is a huge reason why we won. His hate for Ohio State and MSU and the way he ran the ball at this time, there's no one anyone could say he's a great coach. I would say I'm pretty sure that's supposed to say can't, or he's not a great coach. I'm a little confused on the wording there. But we got to give Mike Hart his props, man. Is he came back and – just look at what the running backs did. Obviously, Sharon Moore, what he's done with the offensive line is truly incredible as well. Yeah. And he deserves all the credit in the world. But the running backs this year, and even the way Donovan Edwards has progressed, you know what I'm saying?
Breakout game against Maryland, that was awesome.
Right, exactly. Mike Hart has done such an incredible job with this running backs room. But I also think there's more to it, like Kickin' Chicken kind of just said, is that he interjected some of that toughness. Now, I know Mike Hart he didn't beat Ohio State. I get it. But he injected, you know, a lot of that toughness and mindset on these guys, and I think gave them a little confidence that they could go out and have a spectacular season.
Yeah, definitely. It was really cool. I'm so happy that Michigan made that hire. What a great hire. Just, I mean, growing up for me, you know, that was when I first started watching Michigan football. I remember my first game was 2006, Michigan against Iowa, 20-6 win. Hopefully we get a similar result this Saturday. But Mike Hart was obviously the running back during that time. And now just to come back and Haskins, touchdowns, this is more touchdowns a Michigan running back has had in the year since Mike Hart. So I just think it's really cool to see him, you know, coming in here, teaching all of them to break some of his records. It's just awesome.
And Blake Corum, man, going out there and just giving it his all. You could tell he wasn't 100%.
But he would have taken that one to the house if he was.
Oh, no question. No one was catching him if he was healthy, but he gave it his all. I think he did come back in after that run. I think a little bit later in the game, he had a nice run inside the red zone, but you could, it was pure adrenaline for Blake Corum, man. Oh, yeah. You could tell that high ankle sprain was no joke. And he was hobbling a little bit out there, but man, that's the kind of mentality surrounding this game though. Right.
Yeah.
Like he was like, I'm not missing this game and I'm going to give it my all. I don't care what it takes to go out and beat these guys.
It's awesome because, you know, it's kind of the same kind of thing with Eric Gall against Penn State. You know, he said he wasn't really sure if he was going to go out. And then as soon as he's out on the field, warm ups, the adrenaline takes over. He goes and wins the game for Michigan. And Blake Corum, that same drive, great comment. Blake Corum on that drive with the long touchdown run. I mean, that was a 3-play drive and the first two plays he got Michigan all the way down the field. And that was a huge drive. So,
and then the very next play, Lewis Blake kind of mentioned it here. He said, Eric Gall is still blocking people off the field. That next play after the big Corum run was Eric Gall as a lead blocker and Hassan Haskins literally just pushed him and he said, I'm following you into the end zone, big guy. And I think that's underrated. I think a lot now, obviously the offensive line dominated in the trenches, but if you go back and watch, and I can't get enough, I've watched twice already today. I watched it yesterday. I watched it Saturday night. I can't stop watching it.
Yeah.
But the way the receivers and the tight ends block, man, oh my God, Mike Sanders still is an incredible blocking receiver. The way Andrell Anthony's come up to speed in blocking out in space as a true freshman. All of those guys, the running game is nowhere near as efficient on Saturday if you're not getting the blocking from the receivers that you got on the outside. Truly remarkable across the board. And I don't know who gets credit for that. I would guess Josh Gattis because he's the receivers coach. I don't know if the receivers are working with Sharon Moore or anything like that, but they are some of the best blocking receivers you're going to see in the country.
It's awesome to see. I mean, everybody's just on the same. Everybody just wants to win. Everyone's on the same page. You know, sometimes you see quarterbacks or receivers getting mad because they're not getting to throw the ball, or the receivers are getting mad because they're not getting to get all these big catches. But everybody just wants to win. It's a team mentality, and everybody just does their job. And I mean, that's just the best thing that you can, the best characteristic you can have on the team. And yeah, it's the run game. Obviously Michigan's running backs are extremely talented, but it takes everybody, and right, everybody's on the same page and everybody's doing their job.
And damn, did they have a lot of space, man. I think Michigan accumulated over 100 yards before contact on Saturday.
Yep. It was insane. I mean, that drive we were just talking about with the two runs from Blake and then Haskins finishing it off. I mean, that's one of my favorite drives to watch. Just three straight running plays right down the field. I mean, and yeah, I don't like, there was just so much space. It's just so fun to watch.
It was, I mean, there is nothing better than that, right? Like it's fun to watch an efficient passing attack. You're taking the top off the defense, like what Ohio State against Michigan State last week. Like that's fun to watch if you're an Ohio State fan, obviously. But I've never experienced like that, like domination against a very good team at the point of attack in the trenches, just knowing that you are going to run the football and there is literally nothing they can do about it. There's nothing like that in the game of football. And I know we're going to more pass heavy. We talked about it after Washington. Can they throw the football? What we saw Saturday, man, there is, if Michigan could win every game doing just that, there is beating the will out of your opponent to where they have none. They had none at the end of the game defensively.
Yep.
It's an amazing, amazing thing to watch happen.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that Washington game, that was another just, I mean, really the whole season. And that's what's so great about Harbaugh's first win against Ohio State. Everybody has just been, you know, giving him crap for the last 5 years, ever since he's gotten to Michigan, saying, oh, you know, he's got to adapt. Like, you're not going to be able to win these games running the football. That's exactly what Michigan did on Saturday, and it was pure domination. That was just the perfect game plan. When they did need to throw, they made the plays. It was just perfect execution, perfect game plan.
Yep, it was. I can't commend him enough, man. Literally top to bottom. I don't think anyone had a bad game at all. It was just the secondary held up against the best receivers in the country, man. Like, look. They made some great plays, obviously. Yep. The Chris Olave mossing of, I believe it was DJ Turner on the sideline. I mean, what do you do? They were in great position. Those plays are going to happen against that team at the end.
He's an NFL wide receiver, you know? It happens.
Right, exactly. So I thought the secondary, and I think, you know, former Mason Brew member Steven Ossetowski, I think he pointed it out, Vincent Gray from last year to this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy what, man.
Yeah. I mean, Michigan last year is getting torched for over 300 yards by Rocky Lombardi, and now they're holding Ohio State's passing attack to just 27 points against them. I mean, yeah, he's got to be up there for most improved player.
Yeah. And I also, I think Joel Klatt did a good job on the broadcast kind of talking about it too. Guys like Chris Hinton and Mozzie Smith, Ojabo and Hutchinson don't exist without those guys. And you look back at it, I remember Anthony and I did the preview pod, and I picked Michigan to go 9-3. I know I sold them short, guys, but a lot of people, you know, they were like, no, you're drinking the blue Kool-Aid. There's no way they're winning 9 games, yada, yada, yada. But the thing I kept pointing to, man, was the 2019 class, and it was the best in the Big Ten. And those interior defensive linemen, you signed Chris Hinton in that class and you signed Mozzie Smith in that class. And the third year is when those interior defensive linemen, it starts to click for those guys. They've been in the strength program for a couple of years. They've seen how the defense works. They understand how to play inside and those techniques, taking on double teams and just eating blocks so other guys can go. And I mentioned that. And I sold the 2019 class short, 10 starters in that class yesterday in that game. And that's what it takes, man. It's one recruiting class. 2018 was a great class. 2019 was a great class, but just one of those recruiting classes can change your fortune as a program. And I think we saw that come to fruition on Saturday.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, those guys have been huge. I mean, it really is just remarkable to see the strides taken from last year. Obviously, I mean, like last year was just a weird season, but I mean, the team was 2-4. The defense was just not good. I mean, yeah, I had the same record prediction as you, 9-3 at the beginning of the season. And nobody in Mason Brew had more than 9 wins predicted. I don't think anybody saw 11-1 beating Ohio State going to the Big Ten title after last year.
No. Yeah, nobody. I think, what was the Vegas over under on Michigan wins this year? 6.5, 7.5, something like that?
6.5 to 7.5, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this
has
been
a lot of the over.
I mean, I think Jim Harbaugh is the coach of the year in the Big Ten. I don't know.
I agree. I mean, obviously, Mel Tucker, he's done a great job. You know, he's a great coach. Michigan State is having a similar season to Michigan, where they had a really rough past couple of years, obviously last year too. And they had a much better year. They're a good team. He's a great coach. But for Harbaugh to come back, all the critics, 2-4 last year, to beat Ohio State. And this Ohio State team is the Ohio State team that everybody just a week ago was talking about, saying they are the best chance to beat Georgia. And Harbaugh and Michigan just defeated them. And, I mean, he's got to be coach of the year.
For sure, for sure. And then we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I'm hoping Michigan plays in Indy twice this year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the way things are lining up, and a win next week could present a favorable semifinal matchup for Michigan for sure.
Right. Got to get through Saturday, but we can look ahead. We don't have an impact on the game. We already established that a little bit earlier, man. So, yeah, it was that was one of the best Saturdays I've had in a while. This weekend, man, I still like it's. Does it still feel surreal to you at all? Because it honestly does feel surreal to me.
It's. I can't even describe the feeling. I just never thought. I don't know. I just thought Michigan is never going to beat Ohio State for the rest of my life. And obviously that was a negative way to think, but it just didn't feel like it could happen because I barely even remember when it happened in 2011. It really is an unreal feeling. And I don't see it going away anytime soon.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. 2011, it was awesome, right? Because you finally got to beat Ohio State. But at the end of the day, that was also a 6-6 Ohio State team.
Exactly.
You know, and that's not taking anything away from that game because it was awesome. And beating Ohio State, I don't care if Ohio State's got zero wins coming into the game, man. Beating them is going to feel good. But to beat the number two team in the land, to beat a coach that hadn't lost a Big Ten game yet, and to send you to Indy on it, it's just it feels a little different. It just does.
It does.
You know?
It just, like I said, I don't think like everything leading up to this point just made for a absolutely perfect moment on Saturday.
It was amazing. Everyone on the field. How long did you stay down there, by the way?
It took a while to get down there.
It was crazy because the field was completely covered and it still looked like the stands were full.
Yeah.
And my mind was tripping. I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
That's exactly what Jim said today in the press conference. He was asked about like his best moments. He was like, man, I saw the field's completely full and the stands are completely full. Like, he was like, there might have been a few more thousand than the 111,000 they had listed. But yeah, it was crazy. It took about 20 to 30 minutes to get just onto the field. And then I was probably only on the field for like 2 minutes, I would say.
Okay.
At that point, people were starting to exit. The lines to get into the stadium were insane. So I didn't get into this, especially the student lines. I didn't get in until right before kickoff. Thankfully, did not miss a second of the game.
Yeah. Well, I saw that. So you could see on the broadcast, you could tell there must have been something there because the top part of the student section wasn't quite full yet at kickoff and it got full, you know, for the game. So I figured the student line must have been just absolutely insane.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'll get to the stadium at like 11:15, you know, 11:20. I'll be fine. Nope, I was in line for like 40 minutes.
Oh, my God, it was crazy, man. Were you starting to lose it a little bit as it got closer to noon?
I get nervous. I'm like, I cannot miss a second of this game. And thankfully got into my seat like 2 minutes before kickoff. But it was stressful for sure. I was very stressed.
Oh, man, I love it. Also, real quick, Lewis Blake said those all blue uniforms are looking better and better. I love them, and I think you got to rock with them now, dude. I think you do. In big games, you have to rock the all blues at home. I don't think you have a choice after Saturday.
I mean, yeah, Michigan just beat Ohio State in the all blues. Wear those every single game for the rest of eternity. I don't care.
Seriously, I don't need, you know, you can start a new tradition. I'm cool with that. I mean, it took you 10 years to beat Ohio State. You might as well no better time than the present to start a new tradition right now.
Yeah, those look good too.
They look fantastic. I mean, they look great for the maze out, obviously, because of the contrast. But man, they just look good anytime. Yeah. I love them.
I love them too.
You think Ohio State will let them wear the all maze next year Thanksgiving weekend?
Maybe. Maybe they have a little more pride than Penn State. I can't believe that, man.
That was ridiculous, man. Yeah. I also love. I don't know. Because there is bad blood between Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day, and I absolutely love it. The born on third base, think he hit a triple line. I mean, you know, that he didn't say it was Ryan Day, but everyone knows it was Ryan Day.
Yeah. I mean, I love that because Ryan Day said that they were going to hang 100 points on Michigan.
Absolutely. And then you got people on Twitter being like, classless. I saw one actually because I love Schadenfreude, so I went and read some articles in the Columbus Dispatch and things like that, and it was like five takeaways, you know, from that. It was like Harbaugh can't show humility or what, blah blah blah. Like, if you're gonna put that out there, if you're Ryan Day, like, hey, guess what, like, you're gonna get headshots back. Exactly. Like, that's how it's always gonna work.
Yep. And that's what makes the Michigan Ohio State rivalry so great. I mean, and there's going to be bulletin board material from both sides every year, and there's going to be a ton of it. I mean, Ohio State's, they had that player post the video stomping on the JJ McCarthy jersey earlier this week. I mean,
and I honestly love that stuff. Like that, like that didn't offend me or anything. And I doubt it offended the players. Like, that's what makes this rivalry sort of special though, too, right? Is there is legitimate hatred across the aisle.
Oh yeah. I mean, I hate Ohio with all my heart. That's how I was raised. And I
fully expect them to hate Michigan, you know, like, that's, you know, and then we coexist somehow in that dynamic.
I mean, dude, one of my best friends is an Ohio State fan. So, I mean, they've got a few good people there, but no, I'm kidding. One of my best friends is an Ohio State fan, but I've met a lot of pleasant people from Ohio.
For sure. Stuff. But when it comes to Thanksgiving weekend, we don't like each other that much, you know? Well, actually, probably it's actually more like 365 days a year, but, you know, we'll coexist the 364.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. I also, real quick, before we start wrapping this thing up here, when you look back at it, I do think they took a different approach to this game this year, and I do think it paid dividends. They started acknowledging that Ohio State was the dragon that they needed to slay, and they started putting this game on a pedestal. Yeah. They had the beat Ohio drill. They put, what are you doing to beat Ohio State, up in the weight room. They made sure every single one of these players was confronted with the fact that they have not beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
And they had to think about that every single day. No matter who the opponent you were prepping for, in the back of your mind, you knew at the end of the season you were playing to go beat Ohio State. And I do think that helped this team get over the hump on Saturday.
I totally agree, because Ohio State has had that emphasis on the game the whole time. And I believe this was the first game that Michigan Ohio State have had since Michigan started doing that. I think it was after 2019, and then obviously there was no game last year. Yeah, I totally agree. And they also had the Ryan Day quote that they're going to hang 100 on Michigan up in the locker room for a while too. Yeah, that definitely, I mean, it's the truth. The Ohio State game means more than any other game on the schedule. And
no question.
And everybody has to know that. You have to prepare for it all year. That's what it takes to win that game.
I just got to calm down D. Brown here. He said, was this the biggest win in program history? I say yes. Let's not get carried away here. Michigan's got a bunch of national championships, man. That's like, let's pump the brakes on that one a little bit, all right? You know, one as recent as 97, too. There were a couple big wins in that year. We'll see, though. Hey, if Michigan shocks the world and go wins a natty,
we can talk about a national title win this year as the biggest win in program history.
For sure. Also, yeah, Hum is Hero, he mentioned this. I got some texts earlier about this real quick as we wrap it up. Brian Kelly is expected to accept an offer to be the new LSU head coach. I saw the report earlier, and then I had a couple people text me that it's a legit thing that he's probably going to go. There could be an announcement as close as tomorrow.
Wow.
Which is absolutely wild.
Yeah, especially considering Notre Dame, I mean, they could be in the college football playoff this year if things fall into place this year.
So that blows my mind, right? Yeah. Is like Notre Dame's got a legit shot of making the college football playoff as that fourth team in, you know, depending on what happens in that Big 12 championship game. Mm-hmm. Though I don't even Notre Dame probably going to be in even over Oklahoma State, maybe. I don't know, because the college football playoff committee, they didn't really value Oklahoma that well. Even when they were undefeated, they were ranked eighth. So I don't know how much stock the committee's going to put into that. They're playing a couple-loss Baylor team in the Big 12 championship game. I don't know, man. Like, what happens then? Does Brian Kelly coach in the college football playoff, even if he accepts the LSU job?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, that's a huge thing to kill some focus with your team. I mean,
man, no
obviously,
kidding.
That's a huge distraction. That would be – the coaching carousel this year is going to be something crazy.
I'll tell you
already watching Riley.
Yeah, watching, you know, everything surrounding the coaching carousel this year, LSU until now struggling to attract a big name, Florida going with Gillespie there, and USC obviously making a huge splash with Lincoln Riley. That's kind of crazy. Yeah, I'm just glad Michigan, you look back at it, man, I'm so glad Michigan didn't get involved last year.
I know. Ooh, man.
Dodged a bullet, man. Dodged a bullet.
Things could not have worked out any better.
Oh, man. Nothing better. They beat Ohio State and a chance to win the Big Ten championship on Saturday. Yep. I can't wait. Let's go. Keep it rolling, man. I want to see him play at least three more games, you know?
Yep, 100%.
Absolutely. Scotty, where can we find you on social media, my friend?
You guys can give me a follow at @ScottyWhite_ on Twitter. That is where I'm most active on social media. That's where I'm doing all my tweeting during the game, so you can follow me there.
You can find me on Twitter at Luke Ghiardi, LukeGhiardi. Follow the Brewcast show page as well as the Mazin Brew Twitter page at Mazin Brew. Brewcast show page is just at Brewcast show. If you're watching on YouTube, we really appreciate you guys, man. Love the comments. I love the engagement. I love all of you for sure. Subscribe if you haven't yet to the Mazin Brew YouTube page. We hit over 5,000 subscribers. Thank you to all who are subscribed. Make sure you give the video a like button. We really appreciate that as well. As if you're listening on the podcast, you can join us Monday nights at around 7:30 for the live recording of Brewcast. Or if you just like listening to the pod later, we appreciate that too. Subscribe, rate, and leave a review for all of our podcasts, man. We got so many good ones. We got Blue by 90 that just joined us. We got Recruiting Future Brew. I mean, we are loaded with the pods. We give you your Michigan fix, no question about that. We're going to keep it going through football season, hopefully a heck of a basketball season and hockey season as well. So for Scotty White, I'm Luke Ghiardi, and we'll see you next week on Brewcast.